Well, episode 5 is here, and it's the second half of our fun times with Skipper Joey and Skipper Trevor. There's a rough audio jump toward the end, but just ignore the man behind the curtain. Ignore him, is what I said. As it was in episode 4, I'd like to remind everyone this episode has a bit of more adult content, so it's probably not for the little kids. See that explicit tag on iTunes? That's there for a reason. We're still looking for more people to sit down with, so if you'd like to be on Tales from the Jungle Cruise, or you want to just send us an email, catch us at junglecruise, C-R-E-W-S, at gmail.com. And if you want to follow us on the Twitterverse, the handle is at skipcast. So say hi and let us know what you'd like to see down the road. So without further ado, or with a lot of ado if you're a big ado fan, here's episode 5, Blue Tuesday. Let's talk about Jungle.
Oh, yes. I like that ride.
It's a good ride. You know, I want to work it someday.
Yeah, one day. I think I want to work it for 3 years.
So let's talk the celebrity.
Celebrity stories
are great because we can talk about them by name because they're in the public domain.
Correct. Perfect. Okay, so I have got to touch Quentin Tarantino.
Wow.
On the elbow.
Oh. But what about on the ride? Is the question.
I helped him out of the boat.
Oh, I understand.
And in the parking lot, remember you tackled him.
I followed him a couple hours. I got to...
This is for Mr. Destiny, you bastard. Destiny turns on the radio.
I had a Brian Wilson on my boat.
What? Pre or post-stroke?
It was 2003, so you tell me.
Look at that.
So yeah, he had had the stroke
by
then.
Yes, for sure. I had.
Did he know he was on the Jungle Cruise?
He didn't talk to me. he sang everything.
He just kind of wandered into the boat.
But I think it was terribly inappropriate for you to tell him to smile.
what a long face, Brian Wilson.
Or maybe
The boat, I had a foreshot, which means the engine went out. So I said, stroke, stroke, stroke. And I threw him a paddle.
Oh.
Okay, so then I had Mark McGrath on my boat as well.
Wow.
And
his career, oddly enough, slightly longer than your boat ride.
But not by much. He's on that one show right now, isn't he? He's on that one show. What?
He's on like one of those bad celebrity like gossip shows. Like
no, I thought it was like one of the ones where you vote for talented people.
Oh, he wouldn't be on that.
No, I mean, he's the judge, though.
Oh. Why is he judging anybody? He should be asking them to be in his band.
And then
when Sugar Ray kicks you out, you've hit rock bottom.
You're not good enough for this band.
You're not getting up for Sugar Ray every morning.
And then, let's see, who else?
But it could be worse. It could be Smash Mouth.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Or Nickelback.
Mm-hmm.
God help anyone that likes Nickelback.
I had Larry King on one of my boats as well.
Hey, and that's great.
Nicolas Cage on one of my boats.
Yeah. Little respect from that.
But not meeting them. It was just more like they got put on and I happened to be the guy in the boat. The one that happened that made me mad... was actually you, Kyle.
When I took
Rebecca Romaine Stamos from my heart.
Oh, she wrote me a guest compliment.
You
that got
son
stolen.
Of a gun. Oh, really?
Got stolen from the shipping
office.
Because it had her autograph on it. I actually, I've detailed this often in my biography. she came back to the boat and clasped the back of my hands to her bosom and told me that I was one of the best skippers that she had ever... And definitely better than that bastard Joey. So,
I remember that.
Yeah.
I wasn't even there at that point, I remember.
No, I got to make fun of John Stamos, which was actually the better part.
Was he there?
That's actually more of a...
Hey, the joke that I led off with when he said, hey, you're going to be funny, Skip, was, funnier than the last season of Full House.
Or every season of Full House, if we're going to go there. I heard they used to swing. I heard a rumor that they had, hot tub parties. Like, naked hot tub parties.
Oh, that kind of swing.
Yeah. So you could have been in on that if you'd known
I
at the point.
I could have. had I not made fun of him.
Right. You would have been in.
I could have totally.
Well, that was the one where I was pulling up to front load. They were in my boat. Yeah. I was almost about to just get the regular guests on board to take off. And you said, hey, Joey, it's time for your break. I'm going to take your boat. I said, no, I'll just skip my break this time. No problem. I'll go another trip. Oh,
but Joey, you've been in the boat five trips.
I'll Union states that you must take.
Oh, I did not play that
card. I'm just kidding.
No, I actually didn't see them at the front of the boat. I actually didn't know.
I just saw an attractive blonde and an right. oily
yes.
And an not oily attractive man. Blonde.
I think that the one that got me in the most trouble was the Johnny Depp and Orlando Bloom on the boat. When.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I took them around.
It's like Jesus and God on the same boat.
And was promptly beaten backstage by every female cast member in the park from base jealousy.
Well, I had two celebrities on my boats before I was not allowed to have celebrities anymore.
Tell that story second.
Yes, I'll tell that story second. I had one of the Wayans brothers.
There's 22 of them.
One of the lesser talented ones. Which is like
Jerome.
All of them. Jerome.
No. Tito.
Yeah, Tito. Tito Wayans. I had him. And then I also had Steven Tyler, who...
I love him and Lester, the ventriloquist dummy. Very...
Oh, my... That's a very old joke,
that's
Kyle.
A bad
that's
old
like
joke.
From the 30s.
Sorry. It's Willie Tyler, right?
Willie Tyler
know.
And Lester. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I had him on the boat, and I hate Aerosmith. I will go on public record stating I hate Aerosmith.
You know what? I will listen to an Aerosmith song.
I like Dream On because that isn't even an Aerosmith song anymore. Nobody knows that's Aerosmith.
True. But I've been on that roller coaster ride
in
Orlando.
That's a great
It's a good
coaster.
Ride. Yeah.
They had nothing. They didn't design it.
Well, they were
Steven Tyler didn't sit in a room with a CAD computer.
Hey! Put a loop here!
Give me more loops!
Well,
so he came on the boat with one other guy from Aerosmith, I'm assuming, because it was, I don't know, and
it was must have been Smith,
and one of his daughters who wasn't Liv Tyler, so it didn't matter at that point,
right?
And it was hot, and I was towards the end of my run at Jungle, and it was the summer, and he wanted his own boat, and so we went out there, and everybody's having fun except for Steven Tyler, who's just sitting in the back like a skeleton, like they just laid a skeleton over a pile of wood and put like a pirate bandana on him. It looks like somebody stole something from Pirates of the Caribbean and left it on the boat.
And left the sword in his chest.
Yeah, there's lightning crashing behind
him. He wanted those doubloons. And so we're going around, and he's not laughing at anything. And I'm getting
That's his
ticked.
Fault.
Exactly.
That's you just
Because I'm
to
like
make fun
18, and
it's
I think
the,
world owes me laughter
exactly.
for some reason.
You're putting on a show.
Yeah. I'm telling bad jokes from the 50s. Why isn't this man laughing?
Right.
And so... about halfway through the tour, I'm tired of it. So I start looking right at him, and I start explaining the jokes to him when he doesn't laugh. Like, hey, Steve, you get that one? It's like Star Wars. You know, like that movie Star Wars with the Jedi, and they had the Force thing? You get that? You must have gotten that. You were around for that. And the guest relations person's like, give me, like, the no, don't do that, please. And so I do this the rest of the tour, and we get to the dock, and they all filter out. And he goes off, and he stops... turns to the guest relations person, like, over by the line area and says something, and they walk off, and somebody, one of the skippers on the dock, comes up to me and goes, hey, man, Steven Tyler on your boat? He just said you were the cockiest little shit he's ever seen. I'm like, yes, I affected him for one brief moment.
Bonus points.
Yeah. That was retribution for that, what's that song?
The band he was
Armageddon song.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And so after that, I was never allowed to have celebrities on my boat, which sucks because I would have had Ellen DeGeneres on my boat, which I would have enjoyed.
That would have been awesome.
She seems very nice.
Yeah.
You take the good, you take the bad.
Mm-hmm. I never had Tootie on my boat, though,
you know?
From the facts of life.
You may have. You wouldn't know. It's not like she gets an escort.
True.
Give Tootie her own boat.
Who? That's the response.
That's an interesting game to play. Which are the facts of life girls are still alive?
I don't know any of their names other than Tootie.
So. You just like saying Tootie.
I just like saying Tootie. Booger.
And who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
So
that was it for celebrities. I saw Pierce Brosnan. That man, that is an attractive man.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem saying.
I saw Cary Elwes on the the tram back to the parking lot, mm-hmm. and he was kind of in his fat Elvis phase at that point. This was not the lean Princess Bride Cary Elwes.
Yeah.
This was the Marlon day. Brando.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's since, you know, gotten roles.
He's gotten
roles,
a little thinner.
But yeah, it was pretty bad.
He was on Psych. You watched that
It
show?
Was great on Psych.
Yeah.
He was fantastic on Psych.
He shouldn't rock the pencil-thin mustache, though, because it just makes him look like he gained 50 pounds all over again.
Yes. Like it's a regular-sized mustache,
right.
but his face
for a large
is
person
so huge. Just gigantic.
Child size.
Take that, carry you. What's his name? Elvis?
Elvis.
Elvis.
Yes. I also want to say it's something else backwards, but I can't figure it out. So the jungle thing, I think we can agree that we worked there.
We did, yes.
And then after there was working there, there was, I would say, some effective comedic moments that came out of the two of you.
For sure.
Yeah.
There were some things that have made you at least marginally popular with the ladies. I don't know if that's true or not.
Not
but
at
least
all.
One.
So,
one
yeah.
lady.
Yeah, one.
It's sad when you
the
only
same
get one,
one
groupie and you have no, to share.
Just kidding. Yeah, I'm
to share her. Is it your day for the groupie?
Well,
no,
we picked her up in Utah.
Yeah.
The Mormon, the mayor.
That's right.
That's right. The first gig after you after Disneyland was we were in a wedding band.
Right. After Jungle, Trevor and I. A couple other skippers just did stuff together. Went to Universal Studios and filmed ourselves being silly. Just kind of did general weird filming ourselves and thinking we're funny kind of videos.
And it wasn't.
I mean, it's funny to us, but so is everything that everyone makes for themselves.
Well, look at podcasts, for example.
They're funny
a
to
great
us.
Example of the 3.5 people who are listening to this right,
right.
now.
Right, and anyone can make one.
It is.
But,
it requires no talent.
Yeah. Well,
hey, whatever. There's three.
Okay.
Our talent combined makes at least one funny person, maybe.
Yep. Transformers talent.
We did that, and then we got hired to be sports broadcasters for an Angels minor league team in Utah.
Yeah, this was a very strange turn of events.
This is a story that I have not heard.
Really,
Trevor?
Yes.
Can we say your father's job? Is that okay?
We'll just say my dad used to be a scout.
Okay.
Yeah.
For
like with boys.
The Angels. Well, okay. Close. If by
young,
if by
yeah,
little boys
a little
you mean
older.
The California Angels,
yes.
And pimp you mean scout.
Yes.
Okay.
Just
to be clear on what that was meaning.
So a guy he met was gonna buy a team out in Utah. The single A short season. That's the lowest of the low you can get in minor league. Apparently, we didn't know.
Right.
We got hired to do entertainment out there, like the in-between inning games. You know, people would spin on bats and, like, run around and fall over and people would laugh at them. We got hired to do that, which we still did. But in the meantime, the owner's like, you guys are funny. You want to do the sports broadcasting for the game.
And he meant, like, the play-by-play of baseball.
Which would have required, I would assume, a base level of knowledge about baseball.
At least.
We did not possess.
But
I remember
apparently
after the meeting, we were talking about, like, well, how are we going to do this?
Right.
And the World Series came up, and Joey said, that's like the big final thing for baseball, right? That's the World Series? At that point, we're like, well, we're screwed.
Here we go.
There it is.
We did not. We actually voiced our opinion. We said, we can't do this. We know what we're capable of, and we know what we're not capable of. We do think we're pretty hot stuff, but I don't think we can do the radio thing.
No.
But the owner said, you keep doing it, because
insisted.
He insisted we keep doing it. He liked our style. So we eventually made videos for the baseball team that they showed in between the innings on their Jumbotron. And we invented some games for them to play in between
really
innings.
Really weird games.
Trevor ran that for the season of baseball. And it's called a season, right? I'm
yes.
just kidding.
Yes.
I know that now. And I took over doing the radio show. I traveled with the team and did their play-by-play.
Well, we got threatening letters the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We got one letter that said, you two are ruining the game of baseball.
Well, which quite frankly, if you can do that on a single A level
in Utah,
that
was
pretty
good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's actually amazing.
We were genuinely trying our best. And, of course, we wanted to succeed. We just didn't know anything. So we talked about what we did know, movies and...
We talked about Dateline a lot.
Yeah, and Madonna, I think what he mentioned.
Bull Durham, really? It was a good movie. And...
Never saw it.
No, okay.
Never saw it. I'm assuming it's about rodeo bull riding?
Baseball,
oh, okay.
Actually.
That's a kind of wheat, isn't it? Durham wheat? It's in beer.
Well, we had, like, the games. We didn't want to do normal games. So we had games like Super Fun Baby Pult, which is basically babies in capes and a water balloon slingshot and somebody out in the outfield with a
trying
crib.
To catch them.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
In a laundry basket.
Yeah. You catch three babies, you win a prize.
Right.
People, we thought this was going to be the game that just infuriates the masses out there. People love
it. It's the most popular one. They still do it to this day.
They still do it.
And this was in 2005 where we worked for the team.
Others, they don't, like Escape the Black Hole with Pierre Laplace.
Right.
Remember that?
There's a scientist that discovered the first black hole.
He
so we
theorized
a game
black holes.
Where you kind of like
Cliffhanger
on The Price is Right where the climber moves up the mountain, but it was Pierre Laplace moving towards a black hole.
Which sounds like you were giving baseball fans
what
a
they
lot
wanted.
More intellectual credit.
Exactly.
It really,
we were saying, hey,
too much.
If you get a little history lesson while you're watching
some
sports,
science channel.
We had a dance contest. They said, we want a dance contest where kids can come and dance on the field. So instead of just being like, it's a dance contest, we made like a minute-long intro video with like robot voices.
Explaining why there's dance now.
It's the year
2065. Unnecessary.
In the year 2065, dance is banned. Now we're going to go back in time 1 year to the year 2064.
So it's Footloose meets the Terminator.
It basically is. So we had Dance Off 2064, and kids would dance.
With the mascot of the team.
And I got to say, 2064, an homage to Robotron 2064.
What's that?
I don't know. It's a video game.
We had
robots. It's a video game called Robotron 2064.
We had.
Did you not know you were plagiarizing that video game?
No, we did not.
Okay. They don't even know we're plagiarizing.
We had a robot with a T-shirt.
Thank you. I'm older than you are.
We had a robot with a T-shirt cannon for an arm, though, which was fun. A Promobot, also sent from the future,
which
to promote
the baseball
in the past.
So, how did you get the budget to have a robot from the future come back?
You know, they gave us...
That's a lot of money.
The guy liked us, so he would give us stuff that we wanted. We said that we didn't get the T-shirt cannon to the end of the season, but at the beginning, we could spend money. We could go to the hardware store and buy things. We could use stuff that was at the stadium. We got paid to work there.
We had a game that we only did once because it injured a staff member, the Stump the Giant Evil Robot,
right?
Joey built...
I built a giant 30-foot-tall... robot, two-dimensional
like
robot frame that you would push up like a sail
in the center field fence.
And got it.
And
raising
then,
a barn.
Yes,
and
exactly.
We had these two poor like 15-year-old kids working the concession stand. Go out there and push it up, and they had to hold it up while a kid asks him a question, and he gets stumped.
And we would
gets
talk
angry.
Through the loudspeakers, the robot's voice.
How many people were in the stands? I'm
3,000.
3,000?
Yeah.
That was a good number for
we
Utah.
Got, yeah.
No beer.
It was pretty popular, but they don't serve beer there.
No beer.
And no caffeine.
No
caffeine.
So fall asleep in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
It was more of a
beer.
Family thing. But,
yeah.
I mean, our stuff is just really, really
it was
bizarre.
Too weird. It was just too bizarre.
Out there.
But we decided we're just going to do what we think is funny and...
wait till you get fired.
What was great is
exactly.
We couldn't get fired.
We didn't.
The owner of the team hired us, and they loved us. And the GM of the team did not like us. And to make it even worse, he went to college for sports broadcasting. So the second we come up and like, what's this, a microphone? And we have the Idiot's Guide to Baseball in the booth to refer to during the games.
It was a punch in the face for him, definitely.
So he couldn't fire us, though.
He didn't have the power.
He didn't, and that was nice
because
we would have been fired immediately anywhere else.
And then after we got back from Utah for the summer, we got another gig with a co-owner of that team who had us make some videos for his website. So we started the long course of trying to do internet videos, short comedy videos.
And through him, we... almost had a Jungle Cruise TV show.
Yeah, we pitched a pilot to a production company for a Jungle Cruise television show that we filmed a pilot for and wrote episodes for.
It was awful.
It was not very good at all.
The video still exists?
Yeah, the video exists. It's not good.
I don't watch it. Well, what they told us is, like, five people told us, this needs to be 30 seconds, it needs to be amazing, and then we'll make the show. So, okay, we made it 30 seconds. And I said, oh, you know what? Let's go to New Orleans and film. We found this boat place. We'll film more. And so it just kept adding on until it was this like crack baby of the original idea.
And then it stretched from 30 seconds to 11 minutes. So we had to stretch what we already had made to make it look like a half pilot for a show, and it just didn't work out good.
So that kind of gives the running start into the Don't Click That
right
era.
We were with this owner of a event planning company who wanted us to make some videos for him, and then eventually he said, "Why don't you make your own website with your own videos on it, and we'll try to sell it like a funnier die, like a homestarrunner.com, where they just make videos once a week and people tune in, and then you sell merchandise or you sell ad space and you make some money off of it."
Or in the case of Homestar Runner, where you update once every year at the most. So
and
it's a zombie site at this point. It's wandering around going content.
He made his money, right?
Yeah, they're done.
Well, his dad died, I think, was what the deal was.
Oh.
That he was the creative push behind it, and he's now, but they haven't updated since last December.
Yeah,
it's been a solid 10
that would have been us.
Yep,
because it just kind of fizzled away. We made a bunch of videos and just didn't work out.
Well, the internet got full, basically.
Yeah, right. I did.
That little era was
there's
up
a little
F.
bit of competition
there no
when
space.
There's 14 billion websites on the internet,
and nobody what we figured out what seems to be the trend is like if you seemingly put any effort into the production value of your video, or like if you try too hard,
right,
then people are just like, well, F that.
Right.
I just want to see the kid on his webcam hitting the nuts.
Right. I want to see a camera phone of a cat falling off a bed get 2 million views.
We should have just done kittens falling off of teenage girls.
Yeah.
Like being chased by vacuums.
Yeah.
And we would have...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be sitting here right now on a lawn. We'd be sitting on a
solid
on that gold lawn.
Sitting on a chair. YouTube money.
That's
that there,
right.
Because there's no money in the internet.
Well, no.
I got an email saying they would pay us if we put our videos on there based on ad space. I'm assuming they don't send that out to everybody.
No.
Oh, no, no.
A select few. Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's
but
solid.
And after that point, we did a little bit of stand-up comedy. So, and in the mix of all of this, we were involved in the Skipper stand-up show as well.
Oh, yeah.
Doing stand-up, Trevor and I, as a duo group, doing duo comedy acts. And we got to perform at, like, the Ice House in Pasadena, and...
Which no one gets to perform at.
That's it. That's it.
And I will say that the modern burlesque thing you guys did,
Modville, yeah.
Was a genius moment. And if for those of us, the 3.5 people who are listening... if you have not heard that, I mean the half really can't because it's the lower half, but the other three, if you can go find that on YouTube, it's stellar.
Yeah, we still have a YouTube channel with all of our videos on it that we made. I'm still very proud of them. I mean,
I
tell
great.
Everyone about them, and I don't expect them to go anywhere. I would like them to, of course, but they were just kind of fun.
They were fun and they were odd, and they were all just green screen done in like a kitchen.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I think, like, the reason why... the through line for all of us, for everything that we did, seems to be that we were just too weird.
Yeah.
We were very odd.
Yeah, every professional person we met told us to mainstream.
But everyone's in the mainstream. I mean, if you mainstream, then there's nothing...
True.
Nothing left that
right.
makes you different, so...
I mean, I'm big on making money. And Trevor and I always had lots of arguments about what is the point of all this? Why do we make videos? Why do we do stand-up comedy? And Trevor just likes to entertain, but he'd also like to make money off of it. And I'm the opposite. I want to make money first, and then if it entertains people.
Yeah.
It'd always be a struggle. Like, Joey would want to say jokes that he thought the audience wanted to hear.
Right.
And I just wanted to urinate on stage.
Because it would make you happy.
Because it would make me very happy.
See, and I don't want to make money because if I make even a penny off of this, I open myself up to lawsuits.
True.
There you go.
So for me, this is a labor of love.
It's better if it sucks.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Because then, they won't come after you if 3.5 people are listening.
Right.
It's true.
So.
And they're
three
not
of
pay.
Which are here right now.
Right now. Yes. Where's the half? Yeah.
Yes.
Where are you?
The half.
Crawling.
The
right.
Crawling over in the bushes.
I think that is also a good balance for Trevor and I of I'm interested in... selling a bit. Trevor's interested in making the bit as unique as possible.
Sure.
So we're a good combination
It did us well. Friday.
It did us well. We have, I mean, we're not successful,
no,
but
not
we
all.
Were. We were. We were successful in our own, you know, being people who just want to do funny videos and new comedy.
How many
people liked it?
How many people can say, I don't know anything about baseball. I worked in it for a year. I have a championship baseball ring, and I still know nothing about baseball.
Which is awesome. Yeah. And you can use that as an engagement ring.
I
and,
could.
They are hideous.
Yes,
they're
yes, engagement rings are hideous.
No.
I haven't bought one yet.
There's
it's a blimp with a television screen on the side.
Wow. God bless America.
You don't see that
my
every day.
My apartment doesn't even have a television set inside of it.
You can just follow the blimp in your car. Just look out the window.
Hopefully they're watching
but the
True Blood.
The resolution is so low you can't tell.
Right.
But I'll bet you can hear it on this high-quality microphone. Thanks for screwing that up for me, Goodyear.
Oh, we'll just
bastards.
Take a little break.
We'll just wait.
Take a little potty break.
And the blimp is gone. Yay! Damn blimp.
Oh, here comes the steamroller.
Dang it! Oh, the universe conspires against us in mysterious and humorous ways.
So, I think in conclusion...
You made videos
for
and
our
you
lives.
Worked at the Jungle Cruise.
Right.
That's it. We're done.
But it changed my life for the better.
Aw, Rudy.
I would be sitting on a couch somewhere, like watching TV, yelling at my wife. Somewhere south... of here.
Tijuana.
If I had never done, because I met everybody, I met you guys, and got to do cool things. Like, I got to do more cool, I think we did more cool things than a lot of people did before 30.
Or in my case, after 30, but I didn't really do them with you, so.
Right.
Well, you were there in spirit. We always said, you know what, it feels like Kyle's in me right now.
So let's go to the only thing possibly more inappropriate than that comment that I refuse to act on. So Trevor,
yes,
there's one thing that you're known for, and that is being a flaming flaming drag queen.
Furious masturbation.
Which is great on a Disney podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's going to fit in well with my theme of respecting the parks and understanding my audience, the magic.
That is something that we have never... I remember we did... I don't know if you've mentioned the Walt Disney video, the drunk Walt Disney video.
No, which everyone needs to see as well because it's pretty amazing.
So we made two videos that are related to Disney. Three.
We've done a lot, actually, with the Mouse Tales Live.
That's four.
We helped the author of Mouse Tales, Dave Koenig. It's Koenig.
Koenig.
We called him Koenig for months.
I'm trying to get him on the podcast. He's actually emailed me and said that once his schedule opens up.
Cool.
So this is me telling him that if you're listening, Dave, I read my emails.
He is a great guy. He is the nicest guy.
And this recording with you guys will keep him away. And I appreciate that.
There you go.
You're welcome.
He will not even come close now.
Maybe that's why... He never returned our calls either.
Yeah.
He sat outside of his house with a boombox every night.
What were you saying?
Oh, what was I saying?
Something
about
Mouse
Tales. Well, no, people take the park like the Bible sometimes.
Yes.
Like, we loved, I love Disneyland. I love the Jungle Cruise.
All the time.
It changed my life. But at the same time.
No, that sounds like. So, with all the other videos and the things that you guys are known for, I think, Trevor, the thing that, besides the furious masturbation that you're best known for,
yes.
If I don't edit that part out, I think, Trevor, the thing you're best known for is perhaps your last day of work. And I think a lot of people, all 3.5 of them,
that's right,
which hopefully is up to 4.5 soon.
So we got a half? Oh, no.
Another person, yes. probably want to know at least a little bit about why you're barely welcome on Disney property.
For the longest time, I always read about Jungle Cruise skippers. For their last day, they did some amazing, insane prank, like the guy that swam around the river and the cops were waiting for him, or the guy that put soap in the river, whatever. Everybody had those stories, but they seemed to die off in, like, the 70s and 80s. You didn't really hear about skippers doing anything crazy
recently.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, I got to the point where I'm like, I'm quitting. I have to quit because they basically told me, well, they're going to fire me if I don't quit. So I'm going to go out on my own terms. And so we all came up with the idea that the Aladdin's Oasis show always gave us crap for being too loud and it would interrupt their crappy show. And so we decided to mess with them, being Jungle Cruise skippers and all. And so the show came around, and I dressed up like Indiana Jones and ran in through the Cave of Wonders and stole Aladdin's lamp mid-show and yelled, "This belongs in a museum," and I ran out. And from there, it was like a SWAT operation. I remember you were backstage, right?
Right. I was in the break room right behind the show. You threw me the jacket that you were wearing.
And the lamp.
And the lamp. And I shoved them in a locker and then continued sitting nonchalantly in the break room.
And I had a jacket and a hat and glasses set up along my path. And I put those on.
To change clothes.
To change clothes. So I was in plain clothes because I'd heard there was a lot of cameras or whatever. And at Coke Corner, I had another friend of mine dressed as Indiana Jones with his girlfriend with a receipt for food, like, from 10 minutes earlier. So when security came running to the show, they would stop him, hopefully.
Right.
And say, like, "Hey, Indiana Jones, what were you doing?"
So this was Ocean's 11, is what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, we watched Ocean's 11, like, shortly before we came up with that plan.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I know. Who knew? And so I made it out the front gate, and I kid you not, that the second I got out the front gate, the Indiana Jones theme started playing
in between Esplanade. The park.
And I thought to myself, well, this is my peak. This is it. This is
and
as
it
good
was.
As it gets. Well, no,
I'm just kidding.
We peaked at least 3 years after that.
Maybe one more time. Yeah.
1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
That was my peak.
No, it was, it's legend. It's legendary.
It is legend.
I rehired in, my trainer didn't know that I had worked there before and started chatting about that situation. Remember, did you guys ever hear about this guy who ran into the thing? And I said, yeah, I heard about it. I see him every day. We hang out. He's my friend. I was in on it. Oh my gosh. It was part of like our training day.
I like how now it's become like a game of telephone where it may not have ever actually happened. And
right.
If you hear people tell you about it, it's like, I heard one person describe it as he swung in on a vine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've heard variations of the story.
Right.
It went into the Aladdin show at California Adventure and did it.
Oh, the Hyperion Theater.
At the Hyperion Theater.
That was actually talked about for like a minute.
Yeah. Punched a genie.
Punched a genie in the face for no reason.
And then disappeared in a cloud of smoke like a ninja. Then went home to Joan Rivers. And that really
that sounds
lucky
much
duck.
More entertaining. Yeah. I'm going to go with that one from now on.
Just tell that story. And
I'm going to end every story with him. Then I went back home to Joan Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the lies.
Trevor does have those guts to do that. No one else has done anything close to that.
Are we talking Joan Rivers or...
Both,
no,
really.
The prank.
Both,
just
the prank.
Yeah.
So, no, it was an excellent prank.
Punch her genie any day.
Oh, my goodness.
I just remember going into the room and telling my parents, hey, I'm going to run into a show that I shouldn't tomorrow, dressed as Indiana Jones, and I'm probably going to get arrested. And my mom freaked out, and my dad didn't even look up from his book. And he said, if I get a call from the cops, you're dead to me. He was going to leave me rotting in jail as long as he possibly could.
Yep. I believe it.
We had a foolproof plan. The only thing that went wrong was they saw the sleeve of my jacket and took it. One of the management took my leather jacket.
Right. I think they opened the locker that I stuffed the stuff in.
Yeah.
And, took it all away. And it was obviously your jacket or something like that. They knew it was yours. I don't know.
Someone got a sweet jacket.
But no one ever, you never really got in trouble for it. There was no...
No, I got a phone call 1 week after saying, we know it's you. We have video of it. And at that point, I knew they couldn't really do anything, but I got excited because the video I have is in black and white.
And
if
they
had video...
Maybe it was a better quality.
Maybe it was professional.
It's gotta be in color. Yeah. Barter for that. I'll give you the lamp back, but I want the video.
But I didn't keep the lamp. I ditched it backstage.
No.
So how did Don Cheadle play into this hole. Wait, that's Ocean's 11.
Yeah, that's right. Set up those cones around that manhole.
Oh, yeah. But funny enough, years later, we met the lady that wrote the Aladdin's Oasis show, and she had heard about the prank, and what had happened was she went in the next day and chewed out all the actors and threatened to fire them. Because if you see on the video, they have no idea what to do.
Their improv skills were not...
And they were hired to be improvers. Like, yep. They're like, what if a kid runs up on stage? What are you going to do? Just sit there?
So, in essence, you were their savior.
It was a mission accomplished for us. Yeah. We got the biggest laugh of their show.
Yeah.
And they almost got fired. Yeah.
Well, guys, that quickly brings us to, I think, the culmination of this evening. It's a good change in tone. I like to have a little variety to this, being that I've at this point posted 2 half-hour podcasts from the same people. I like to talk about the future in ways that may make some sense at some point. So pretend like it's bigger than it actually is. But no, I appreciate us hanging out together and recapping the good times. And Our palatial estate here.
From all our success.
We had all the peacocks and emu and dodo birds meandering around in front of us. So.
Oh, dodo birds.
Oh,
I'll be right there, Jeeves. Yes. Jeeves, my polo pony.
That's my wife. That's John Rivers.
Sorry. It's like a polo pony.
And she can be ridden by royalty as well a polo bunch.
She enjoys being hit and bit the stick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Saddled.
So anyway,
that's her face.
I'm sure that we will. I'm sure that we will hear much more from you guys. I will be posting the links to said videos that we were referencing on the page. But thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great evening, and to all of our friends out there in the internet land. That's the new land of Disneyland that I'm inventing.
Internet land.
Wish you guys a happy days and a hearty kungaloosh, and we'll see you on the next episode.